There's Terry Savage. Hi, Terry.
Where's that money going in the virtual kettle? It's not virtual money, is it? It's real.
It's real money. It'll go to the Salvation Army, and with it, they will do the most good.
Yes.
By the way, Terry, we've been asking our listeners today, what is the one almost useless thing you still remember, like your high school locker combination or your old phone number or something like that, your first phone number?
I remember that, but I also know by heart the VIN number of my first car. Do not ask any more questions.
Wow, very impressive. Why would you memorize the VIN number?
Because
that's
it
like 15
short.
Digits.
It's still sitting in my garage.
Because you still have that car.
I still do.
It's a nice car. What's on your mind today?
Okay, interest rates, interest rates, interest rates. And I know you think we're only going to talk about the Fed, but we're going to talk about something else too. But first, the Fed. The futures markets, the tools and all say 99% chance that in 1 hour from now when the announcement comes out, it will be unchanged. In fact, I'm going to stick around just to listen to it. And if it goes up, I'm going to come running back in here and try and explain that. It'll be illogical. But what everybody will be listening to is not only the prepared text, but the press conference that follows, where Powell says either, yeah, we're still worried a lot about inflation, or we're pretty pleased that inflation is coming down. That will be hints to, will they raise again in December? And those who are thinking farther out, when will they ever start to cut? So we don't know that. We'll wait to see what happens. We've got signs of weakness in the economy. The Consumer Confidence Index reported out yesterday, down again 3 months in a row. Not in disaster territory, but showing a lot of fear among consumers, even though, yes, they keep shopping and charging. The ISM Manufacturing Index released this morning, showing a bit of weakness. We're not making headline numbers of falling things, but job vacancies, a few more job vacancies indicating, well, the labor market's getting to be impacted. The ADP, the private sector payroll people that comes out before the unemployment numbers come out, which will be later this week, that shows the growth in that is down a little bit. So some weakness in the job market indicated. On the other hand, there's always another hand in economics. The Fed came, the Treasury came out this morning and said, here's what we're going to be borrowing, like $1 trillion. People are very annoyed. You know, we have such smart listeners. All of you, we made a big thing of this 2 years ago, refinance your mortgages. If you're a regular listener, you knew 2 years ago when we went crazy in January, the big thing for the year, even if you're old and you don't think you'll be around for 30 years to pay it off, lock it in at 3.25%. The Fed made the mistake of not doing that. And they borrowed relatively short term. They didn't sell any 10-year treasury notes, or very many, I mean, under 2%. And now that rate is 5%, close to. So they're being blamed for not having done what smart consumers did, lock in your costs. So the Fed, because we keep running deficits, the Fed has to borrow more. That should push rates up. And the Treasury has to borrow more. That should push rates up. The Fed, which, do you remember, it was out in the markets buying bonds and paying for them with newly created money, because that's, nobody asked the Fed, is your check good? So they'd go to the bond dealers and say, hey, the Treasury auctioned off 10-year notes, we'll buy them. And they'd pay for it with a credit on the book of the banks, newly created money. Well, in the last year, the Fed has said, we're not buying any more of this stuff. We're actually selling ours. So that kind of thing would push rates up, along with new borrowings and refinancing old borrowings. And then there's still inflation. And then, just for the third hand, the real question won't be solved by the Fed. I mean, they have a lot of influence. A little bit like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain saying, this is what we will do. But the markets, the huge $32 trillion worth of U.S. government debt markets that trades every day, that are owned by the foreign central banks and the big institutions, they are the ones that really set the longer term rates. And if they decide, on the one hand, hey, this world is a scary place, where will we put our extra money? We'll put it in U.S. IOUs, that's the safest place in the world. That pushes rates down because there are plenty of buyers.
Mm-hmm.
On the other hand, if they look around and say, this world is about to explode, and look at America, they're so messed up, it looks like they're going to approach a shutdown again and again and again. Where else can we put our money? Oh, you see a little in the gold market. You see a little in cryptos. That's the big question. What if the world just looks at us and says, we're done with the dollar as the center of to rush to when there's safety? So there's the immediate question. What will the Fed do? It controls short-term rates. The bigger picture, what are we going to do about our debt? If we keep borrowing, the interest on the debt's going to crowd all other spending out, and we're going to be very dependent on foreign central banks to finance our deficits.
What else do you want to say?
Here's a headline. Listen up, chicken money investors. Breaking news this morning.
Yes.
The subject is I bonds.
Okay.
Now, you remember it was literally a year ago, yesterday and the weeks before, when everybody was rushing in. We crashed the Treasury's website buying Series I bonds at a rate of 9.62%. Because last year, the rate ended, as it always does. A new rate is set on November 1st. So in October last year, all we talked about was get your I bonds, 9.62%. And it didn't matter if you bought them in October, you'd get a full 6 months before the rate changed again to the new rate. Okay, fast forward to today. There is a new rate for Series I bonds. And I'm going to give you a number, and then there's a big asterisk. So the new yield announced today for new buyers, if you just went out and bought one now on Series I bonds, is 5.27%. Now stick with me. That includes a fixed floor rate of 1.3%. Back when you bought your 9.62%, it was wonderful, but there was no fixed floor rate, okay, because inflation was just starting. Now we have a fixed floor, and for this 6 months, new buyers of I bonds get 5.27%. But wait, here's the asterisk. If you have an older bond, the one you bought and were so thrilled about, that had no fixed floor, then you have to subtract that 1.3%. And for this 6 months, starting now, or whenever your old rate expires, because you may have bought them kind of off and you get 6 months of that whatever rate, but the new rate for you, you have to subtract 1.3%. You are only going to earn 3.94% on your I bond. So all of you who bought them at 9.62, those bonds had no floor. It turns out that the next 6 months period, there was a 0.4% floor. And the next 6 months had a 0.9% floor. So all those people will get a little bit higher. But if you were the one that rushed out, which is a vast majority of you, to buy them at 9.62, your bonds don't have a fixed floor. And so for this 6 months, you're only going to earn 3.94%. And now I know what you're saying. Yeah, you had your mouth open, John.
Yeah, well, I'll let
you
say.
What do you do?
Well, yeah.
What do you do? Should you
know.
Sell those bonds? Now, I'm going to give you an interesting answer. You know there's a 3 month loss of interest penalty when you sell the bonds before 5 years.
Right.
However, my good friend at the Treasury at 6:30 this morning was on the phone with me saying, I've calculated it. I'm not going to name this person, but okay. But said to me, you know, the truth is, a lot of people have been selling those 9.62% bonds. So I calculated out and figured if you sold that bond and bought a new one today, I'll tell you how to do this, you would break even in 9 months. Plus ever more going forward, whatever the six-month rate is, you would always have that 1.3% floor. That stays with the bond for life, the bond you buy now. So it may make sense. I know this is getting complicated, and you're going, Terry, I don't want to do this again. It was so hard to get going at Treasury Direct. But if you go to treasurydirect.gov and open your account and look in under holdings, and you have 10,000 was the max you could have that year of 9.62% bonds that started at 9.62, and then the rates went lower most recently. I'm not even going to go get you confused with that, but the rates have been lower every time. It popped up a little bit this time. You already know what your penalty will be because the current value of your savings bond that's listed under holdings actually accounts for the 3 months loss of interest penalty. So you will know what you would get back from those previous 6 month periods. And if you decide you don't want to accept this current thing now, and it's down because inflation, you know, it's about the same because inflation's the same, but it's down from what you were earning, you have two choices. You can click sell my I-bond, and you'll see the net you're going to get because the penalty shows in the current value. They figure you're going to do this, so they subtract it so you know.
Right.
And then either A, it will go back into your bank account from whence it came, or B, they have something called an interest account where you can leave it there, and you can then immediately use that money to buy either, and now here's getting tricky, you're going to all be bond traders before I finish with you. You can either buy a new I-bond, you can put all that money in it. If it's over 10,000 now, they'll send the excess back to you because you had interest earned, but a $10,000 bond. You could buy a new $10,000 bond, or you could buy a treasury bill. Without ever taking the money out of your treasury direct account, you could say, no, take all those proceeds, and on Monday when the treasury auction comes up, buy me $10,412 or whatever the interest is accrued to of six-month treasury bills. And what will the rate be? You never know quite in advance, but probably it's going to be around 5.5% for 6 months. And then you'll have a mark there which says renew it automatically. And if you renew it automatically, you'll get ever what the rate is ever after. So I-bond holders, you've got some decisions. I'm going to write this up and put it on my website this afternoon.
She also had a column called The Wizard of Fed. That's Terry Savage at terrysavage.com. We'll answer your questions now, 312-981-7200. After that graduate-level course on interest rates and treasury bills and whatever the heck else that was Terry was doing before the news, what's the matter?
You were going to ask me. You asked me in the break yourself.
Okay, well, these are questions that have come in. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Dear Ms. Savage, redeeming I-bonds is it not best to wait another 3 months so that the interest lost is from this newer, lower rate?
And the answer is, which I didn't want to get into when I was giving out all those numbers, is no, because if you had those old I-bonds, not old, the ones you bought at 9.62%, last 6 months, the one that just ended a minute ago, you were only earning 3.38%. The headline rate of 4.3% went to people who first bought them in the last 6 months. They had a 0.9% floor. So if you bought them back at 9.62, which I know so many of you did, for the last 6 months, your real earnings on that was only 3.38%, which is lower than the current 3.94. So if you want to get out, go ahead and get out.
Terry, rates should go up. People are still buying houses at $1 million. Interest rates should go up, says this listener. Rates should go up. I presume they're talking about the Fed.
My answer is, what does that have to do with the price of beans? David would tell you, but I think the proportion of million-dollar houses bought, I've read somewhere, it's like over 50% it paid for with cash.
Yeah, well, I think that's true.
People selling their old houses, you know, probably boomers and so forth, moving. The demand for mortgages isn't pushing rates up. Higher rates are pushing the demand for mortgages down because fewer people can't afford it.
Ask Terry if an additional umbrella insurance policy is worthwhile when you have a home and investments. What's an umbrella insurance policy?
Yes, an umbrella liability policy steps in above the limits of your homeowner's insurance. So if you think you might be sued because you live in a big house and it's clear you're rich and your limits of liability on your homeowner's policy are relatively low and someone thinks you're going to be the deep pockets person, umbrella liability is sold by the extra million and it's relatively inexpensive. It coordinates with your underlying homeowners. So ask your homeowner's insurance agent about adding $3 or $4 or $5 million worth of
umbrella. The rates aren't that high and it's not a bad idea.
The cost per million is not that high.
Terry, I believe the Fed is super aggressive this year. Do you agree?
I guess they have been. They raise rates from about 0.5% to 5%.
Well, I think underlying that is unnecessarily aggressive. Do you agree?
Well, we haven't seen if it's worked yet.
I have a friend who thinks paper currency and the national debt are in line for a big hit to our economy. He keeps pushing for gold and silver. What's your take on that, Terry?
Well, I've believed that for 40 or 50 years as I've watched our deficits. And then we had some good years where we had budget surpluses, believe it or not, under the Clinton administration around the turn of the century. We are headed for, and it's in my column that's posted at terrysavage.com. It won't hit the newspaper for another day or two. But we keep adding to our national debt. We've added $9 trillion in the past few years. We have to pay interest on that. As rates go up, it adds up for every percentage point close to $200
billion. And it wasn't such a problem when rates were 2.5% when the money was relatively cheap.
It was free money then, okay? But now, and we continue to spend. If you watch CNBC or go to CNBC.com and listen to Stanley Druckenmiller's interview this morning, he explained it so beautifully. He said, we're like a bunch of drunken sailors, sorry, sailors, if we've offended you, spending money that we don't have, creating these huge deficits.
Who's the we in that?
America, the government, both parties.
The government and the citizens?
No. We're just talking about the federal debt.
Got it.
Both political parties have done it. And he made it very clear under the Trump administration and the Biden administration. And now, of course, we have emergencies that we consider, like global war, and how much it would cost to defend ourselves if we weren't giving money to Ukraine. So penny wise and pound foolish kind of a thing. And the question is, when are we going to make some decisions? Because the burden of interest on the growing debt and more interest on the interest is going to squeeze out our ability to do all kinds of things, ranging from defense to social programs.
Here's a question for Terry Savage. I paid off my HELOC, and now I'm getting a bill for the annual fee. Should I completely close the account? I didn't do that because I thought it would affect my credit rating.
It won't affect your credit rating, but David was talking earlier, I was listening, to the difference between a home equity loan and a line of credit. The line of credit would likely have a lower rate. You may only be paying interest on it, but it's kind of a standby thing where you tap your house as a piggy bank. Dangerous, but a standby. And the privilege of having that ready in case of an emergency is an annual fee. So if you think you might have to tap into it, you're worried about losing your job, then pay the fee. It's like a little insurance policy. I can get into my house money fast. But if not, then don't pay the fee. And it should not have an impact. Closing that line, it should not have a negative impact on your score.
Terry, I'm 71 and my 401k is less than $50,000. Should I tell Fidelity to buy treasury bills now?
Okay, wrong on five accounts. Number one, in your 401k, you can only invest in the options that your company created. What you should do is roll it over to an IRA right there at Fidelity. And if you go to terrysavage.com under columns, there's a search bar. Just put in the word rollover and it will tell you exactly how to do that. Roll it over because you will then have a more conservative choice of funds for a 71-year-old than the funds offered in a 401k that you used to work where they're trying to get 30-year-olds and 40-year-olds to grow their money. But they cannot act as a custodian for you for buying treasury bills, except if you open a brokerage account within your new IRA. I just think you probably should go with a government-only money market fund. But definitely, you want to roll the 401k into an IRA. And do it now, because in 2 years, you're going to take required distributions. It'll make it a lot easier.
I'm reading all of these text messages to Terry at 312-981-7200. We will pick up some phone lines in a minute. First, let's get another business report. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A 143-room hotel is being planned in the heart of Chicago's Fulton Market District. Cranes reports the proposal is being led by a New York developer along with an Elmhurst-based investor. The plan calls for a 14-story hotel at 1016 West Lake. A zoning application has been presented to the city council. The report says the hotel would be developed on the northeast corner of Lake and Carpenter. The zoning application did not include details about the hotel brand or operator. In 2019, WeWork was one of the largest office tenants in downtown Chicago. Now the company is on the verge of bankruptcy. The company could file for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection by next week. WeWork's footprint in Chicago was more than 1 million square feet in 2019, making it the largest tenant leasing office space downtown. The company has now entered into an agreement with creditors to temporarily postpone repayment of some debt. WeWork reportedly has long-term debt of nearly $3 billion as of June, in addition to more than $13 billion in long-term leases. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
Here's the business of food with Steve Alexander.
Yeah, here we go. I'm still pretty blown away after hearing this.
After much consideration, I've decided to stop doing speed jokes.
No. More about that after I thank the Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com for sponsoring us today. There's never been a better time to put a new Chevy Silverado in your toolbox.
After a lot of consideration, I have decided to stop doing speed jokes.
No, say it ain't so. It ain't. That's John's voice, but not his words. And thanks to some software that anybody can download, I can have him say anything.
I like creamed corn.
Well, that may be true, but that's a deep fake, which brings us to deep stakes. And this fella.
Hey, Steve, I'm Dooley Tombras, president of Tombras Advertising Agency in Knoxville, Tennessee.
Steak'em, the frozen beef company, is his client and has a history of using its advertising and social media to call out phony information.
It's a scary world out there, and the message is, it's not just scary for Joe Biden or politicians or celebrities. This technology makes it scary for everyday people. And so it just became a really natural opportunity for Steak'em to jump in a really fun way and communicate to the public about the dangers of deepfakes.
So the ad agency brought in 18 people off the street.
These were 100% real vegans.
They were given a vegan sandwich to taste and review for a video. And minutes later, editors in another room had run their comments through deepfakes software and made it appear that these vegans were singing the praises of beef.
And we showed them the deep fakes of them eating the sandwich saying they loved meat. First they were shocked, then they were angry.
He says they got over it when they found out what was going on, but Steak'em spent a lot of money not really advertising its products.
Well, it's really modern marketing, right? I mean, it's a very, very, very soft sell here. This is a social good video, and they're really committed to fighting misinformation, so they view this as a public good.
And the company even created a website.
Deepstakes.ai, where you can watch the video, you can educate yourself about how to spot deepfakes.
Deepstakes.ai. On the food calendar, how about this? It's World Vegan Day.
And I can confidently tell you no vegans were harmed in the filming of this video.
And today is National Calzone Day. I'm Steve Alexander, and that's the... Let's let fake John finish.
Okay, that's the business of food on 720 WGN.
A few more minutes with Terry Savage, terrysavage.com. Terry, you want to answer some questions?
Absolutely. Let's try and get a bunch in.
Priscilla, are you still there? Thanks for holding. What's your question with Terry?
I'm 76 years old with a IRA annuity of approximately $30,000. I currently earn 10% interest. But with the fees out, it comes down to 3% return. I do take an RMD, a little over $3,000. Should I cash out the annuity and take the money with the tax penalties and an additional small penalty and buy like T-bills?
Oh, my God. Who sold you this horrible piece of junk?
NASA Ray, about 11 years ago.
Okay, if it was 11 years ago, you should be past the penalty period. Do you go online? I'll tell you what, leave your phone number with our producer, Pete. Pete, would you grab the phone number of Priscilla? And I will connect you with StanTheAnnuityMan.com. Stan will be as repulsed by this idea of what you've been stuck with, and he will be able to give you a specific idea of how you can get out of that without penalty, but without taking it out of your IRA and paying taxes. Then you could put it into something like T-bill, not T-bills in an IRA.
That's the idea,
but something
you
safer.
Don't want to capture it because then you pay tax on it, right?
So you want to take it out of the IRA, but right. You want to get it out of this crazy annuity. And he will look at the details, and you can trust him to help you. And others of you who have questions about annuities, go directly to StanTheAnnuityMan.com. You don't have to tell him I said you. I get nothing out of this, but I know you can trust him 100%.
Okay, Priscilla, stay right there. For Terry Savage, per your recommendation, my wife and I are looking into long-term care combination insurance. All the quotes come with disclaimers, not FDIC or otherwise insured, may lose value, etc. It seems like more of a gamble than we expected. Any comments or reassurances?
No. Let me stop quickly and then give you a resource. A long-term care combo policy is like buying a life insurance policy. You put a hunk of money in, or over 10 years, maybe you put money in, and that builds up a cash value, which in the future, if you need long-term care, can be withdrawn to pay for your care. And the cost can never go up. so it's not like you have an annual premium for long-term care. Want to know more about those? Go to terrysavage.com. In the column search bar, right under the word column, put in long-term care insurance or go directly. I get nothing out of this. You know that. I only send you to people I trust. And that's Brian Gordon at Gordon Associates, the long-term care people, 800-533-6242. And just read the long-term care article because his number is in that. So go
but
read the column
about long-term care insurance,
combo.
That's not an investment product.
No,
right?
No. That's why it's
not. Well,
they're
talking about a losing value in this question.
I don't know where you got the losing value, but the fact is that anytime you put money inside an insurance policy, it's not FDIC guaranteed. That's not the point of an insurance policy. This is a policy, and if you don't use it, by the way, the big point of the combo policy is there's a death benefit. You can pay premiums on long-term care for years, and you hope you never use it. Who wants to need long-term care? And then it was wasted. But
is
in
there
this
a cash
case,
value that you can draw on,
you can
like a
actually
permanent insurance
draw,
product?
Yes, and it reduces your long-term
sure,
care coverage,
sure,
so
sure.
You don't want to do
but
it.
But if you think I'm doing pretty well, or I'm nearing the end of my life, and I'm not going to use this
The end of your
thing,
life is when you're going to use it and want it. And whatever's left over goes to your heirs and a death
If I knew
benefit.
I was going to die Saturday, maybe I would take the money out today and tap some of the cash value, is what I'm saying.
Yes, God.
Terry, I thought you had to leave the I-bond untouched or in your account for a number of years or there would be some type of penalty.
Yes, that's the point. You have to keep it there for 5 years or face a 3 months loss of interest penalty. And what I'm saying is based on the current numbers, and I promise this evening I will post this at terrysavage.com on top of my columns. I'll call it I-bond update. But given the way the numbers work, you probably, and a lot of smart money is, cashing in that I-bond, paying the 3 months interest penalty, buying a new I-bond at the current rate with the forever floor, and in 9 months, you'll be ahead. That would be the reason.
That's the math on that, and that's the, I'll say it now, the savage truth.
Thank you, John.
That's Terry Savage. By the way, what can you say? I got 25 seconds. What can you say about a TV show in the near future?
Okay. I'm not sure, and I'm not supposed to say, but if you can, watch 60 Minutes this Sunday evening. I'm going to be swatted down if I say more, but just watch 60 Minutes this Sunday evening, unless some breaking news happens.
Gosh, I wonder what that would mean. Maybe somebody we know is going to be featured. All right. Well, thank you, Terry. It's nice to see you.